What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now. What's up, beautiful people? I'm Joshua Nussbaum. I'm here with Liz Vino.
Hi, guys.
And originally, we were going to record this piece on do's and don'ts for the new algorithm for our RevLabs ambassadors. I own a company, Revolution Laboratories, as many of you guys know. Elizabeth is one of our influencers. Before I built my personal following, when I was just launching Revolution Laboratories, or RevLabs, back in 2011, early 2012, we ran probably between the two of us, maybe 15 social media accounts.
That was before you could have 5 accounts on your IG deal.
Yes, we were logging in and logging out on our computers and having multiple cell phones. We've been massacred in the past year. Our cumulative reach of, I don't know, maybe 5-6 million followers across all of our pages have been diminished greatly as a result of Instagram's new algorithm. There's about 15 or 20 key changes for 2018 algorithm changes. And we are going to talk to our ambassadors about how those changes are going to affect them so that their reach can stay strong. But I figured that this would be a good time to upload it to all of you guys as well and just release it to the public as dope, badass, free information. When building a social media following, you know, there really isn't a whole lot of reasons not to. It does take time. It does take effort. And we're going to be speaking mostly to those people looking to grow their own personal brand or their social media influence. But even if you're not trying to grow your own social media influence, there isn't any negative aspects besides for the time of building your own personal influence or personal brand. Those of you that are trying to get sponsored by companies, those of you that own a company and that are entrepreneurs, those of you that are thinking about launching anything in life, having influence over people that are like-minded and interested in your subject, does nothing but empowers that initiative or that goal. So the purpose of today's episode is to go over and to teach you guys the ins and outs of the 2018 algorithm. This isn't start to finish on do's and don'ts on Instagram, but rather what is changing. So this supposes that you guys have somewhat of a base knowledge to begin with. So that being said, I think we should get right into it. Real quick, if you want to follow us to look at the practical application of anything that we're doing here, I'm RevLabs Prez on Instagram. That's RevLabsPrez. Liz is much easier. No pun intended. Liz Vino, LizVino. So, moral of the story, with any native platform, with any social platform especially, you want to give the owners of that platform, i.e. Instagram, what they want. So they're trying to accomplish certain things. We want to make sure that we're giving them those things in our content, in our engagement, so that they reward us with more followers, more exposure, more users, basically just making more impressions on our content so that we can be discovered, learned about, engaged better with. So, with the context of giving Instagram what they want, it's really important to know that back in the day, in any social platform, and I'm sure you remember these days, when someone subscribed to you on YouTube, they saw every single person that subscribed to you saw every single one of your videos, or at least was delivered every single one of your videos. Whether or not they watched it is up to them. Same thing with Facebook, same thing with Twitter, same thing with Instagram. I remember us spending about $50,000 a week back in 2013 that Liz was approving and being like, what the hell is this ad spend? I'm like, just trust me. Liz runs all of our numbers for RevLabs and various companies here. But it was worth doing a paid spend on Facebook, because before the EdgeRank algorithm, if somebody liked your fan page or subscribed to you, followed you. I don't even think it was called following back then. It was either like just a friend or a like. Every single one of your posts would then be exposed to every single one of your likers or friends. One by one, each of these platforms have converted over to a paid platform. And in order to make room for that paid exposure, what they're doing is limiting the amount of exposure that you have if you are not paid. So this is not a testament to how great the paid platform is, although I think that's a different podcast and different YouTube video, but there's absolutely money to be made in paid advertising. But if they're making a decision whether or not to expose your post to the people that follow you, it makes the do's and don'ts way more important, because you can have, you know, when we first got hit with this curveball, you know, Liz is at probably 250,000 followers right now. And we had to revise the strategy a little bit with some of these tips that I'm about to teach you. And she was, you know, going up, 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 up. The new algorithm comes out. She dips. We learn about it, adjust. And now we're doing better than ever and being exposed to people that both that follow us and that don't follow us. So knowing that they limit our exposure, which how frustrating is that when the new algorithm hits and then you go from
my engagement, like just one day just massively declined. And I hit up Christian Fleenor and some of our other athletes and ambassadors that have a
finger on the pulse. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had the same thing. So we're like all screenshotting our analytics. We're like, what's going on? You know, but did you know right now that only 10% of your content gets shown to that following?
I think it's that your content is exposed to 10% of your following, and it uses that 10% as a baseline.
Yes.
You said it, but just backwards. Yeah. I do know that. And I mean, you go from being exposed to 250,000 people to 2,500 and as a test group, believe me, it's going to hurt. But if you learn what they want, they use that test group of 2,500 people or 10% of your following to then judge how many more people that they want to show that post to, aka 50% of your following, 100% of your following, or 100% of your following plus a certain amount of people that don't follow you. So if you learn how to win this, if you have a large following, awesome. That probably means that either A, you've been good at playing the game of Instagram before. B,
you created an account in 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've been on the platform for a long time. C, you're as pretty as Elizabeth is. Or D, you naturally just have stuff going for you. If that's the case and you've learned how to game the system in the past, it's really important to re-educate yourself to continue to grow this bad boy, because this, if you're a big Instagram user, is going to be the make or break of your Instagram career. On the flip side of that, because you're allowed to get way more organic traffic to people that you do not follow you, there's a huge opportunity for all you micro influencers out there. This whole episode was kind of brought about when I opened Pandora's box with Something Social and Callie Cholodenko last episode, or maybe it was two episodes ago now, but we were talking to brands and social influencers about how to organize your content in content buckets and strategies, and always having a bag on the go. So, and a camera ready or a phone ready, so that if something happens that is speaking to one of your content buckets, you can be ready for it. And the amount that I opened it up to Q&A and the amount of questions and answers of what you guys are experiencing, I started passing my phone and my DMs to Liz. I'm like, dude, Liz, you know all of this stuff better than anybody. I need you to start DMing some of these people back. And then,
yeah, because you're like, if anyone has questions, you know, Callie and I will both be available to answer everything on Instagram. And like,
I should have known better. Yeah. This video response is a response to a lot of the questions that you guys have. And they're really, really good questions. I'm impressed with the intelligence of our audience.
Same.
So first and foremost, whether or not you are a business, the number one do, we should like put this on the screen somewhere. Switch your account to a business account. Why do you want to do that?
What does that mean?
Number one, switching your account from personal to business gives Instagram what they want. Why do they want that? Because if you're a personal account, you can't pay for paid stories. Liz and I can pay for paid stories because we're business accounts. Instagram is wanting to monetize their platform. They're wanting to make money on Instagram through businesses. If you're wanting to make money, if they're wanting to make money off of your account, if you're a business account, you have the opportunity to pay for advertising. If you're a personal account, you don't. I've split tested this, leaving some of my fan pages or some of my like hot girls pages, fitness guys pages, you know, pages about Liz's dogs, or one of whom is in heat behind us getting humped by the other one. That's Bailey and Patron. Neither of them actually have pages, so don't go hunting for them. But if they did, they would be business pages. So I've split tested this. And if you switch your account to a business account, you are going to get more impressions without changing anything else. Number two, you get way more insight. So as soon as you switch over to a business account, which by the way is super easily done, there's like a million YouTube and Instagram videos telling you how to do it.
You do it through Facebook. It takes like 2 seconds.
Yeah. You connect your Facebook account to it and switch to a business account. There's like 500 prompts around Instagram encouraging you to do this.
And don't worry, you don't have to be a business to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. So the second you do switch over to a business account, it gives you way better insights. You get a plethora of analytics. So you can start seeing what your demographics look like, who's following you, what region, what time of day they're mostly online.
Gender, age.
Gender, age, yeah. A bunch of different stuff. How many clicks you got to your website that week, how many engagements you got, how many impressions, a ton of stuff.
It tells you your website clicks. Oh, that's another thing too. On your story to swipe up, once you become a business account, you're able to link to.
That's very true. Yeah. So we'll get to Instagram stories in a little bit, but if you're looking to drive traffic to anything or build any of your other platforms, Instagram's platform doesn't allow live clickable links anywhere except for in the bio. They've switched the feature about 4 months ago now that if you have an Instagram story and you're a business page, you can now embed links and have this feature to swipe up. But we'll get more to that in a second. So like my grandfather once told me, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Measuring your analytics, changing one variable and then measuring them again is going to directly dictate what you should or should not, can or can't do. So do number one, switch to a business account. If you have more questions on this, and I say this with a grain of salt, reach out to me, DM me, tag me in your stories. You know, you can ask me video questions and I'll respond back to you and tag you back. But I'll tell you what, if you guys want me to run through the very simple directions, like step one through three or four or however many it is, shoot me a DM or an email at joshua@ioepodcast.com. And I will happily edit my show notes and put a little instructional tutorial video or step-by-step blog posts. Okay. So number one is you want to switch to a business account in case we didn't make that clear. Number two, the social piece of social media is half the battle. People focus way too much on the media part. How do I take my pictures? Let me get my writing right, my lighting right. You know, how do my boobs look from this angle? Like, can I turn up the structure so that my abs look more defined? Whatever. Way too much into the media, not enough into the social aspect of it. Now, I would argue it's not the social or the media that's the most important. I would argue it's the distribution of your content that is most important. And a surefire mechanism to getting your content exposed and distributed to more people is to be more social. Instagram wants you to be interactive. They want users socializing with each other's media, right? So if Instagram is exposing us to 10% of our following to determine how big of an exposure they should unleash on this post, should it be 50%? Should it be 100%? Should it be 150%? Should it be one of those viral posts that have 30x the engagement? Yeah, what did that one video get? You get like 400,000 views on that one video, a goofy video of you doing like the front flip by the pool. That was like two posts after the algorithm switched.
Yeah.
And you had like almost 500,000. Like it was outrageous.
Yeah, I went viral. Obviously hit the explore page. Yeah,
we're like, what did we do right? Well, we realized a huge thing that we did right is within the first hour, so while it's still in that test phase, we responded to every single comment on our post.
We tried, yeah.
I think on that one, we hit it. Yeah, we were testing the different variables. You tossed it up and you see my phone's going nuts. I'm like, go respond to every single comment, see what it does. This is a no-brainer, guys. Every single post for the first 60 minutes your post is up, respond to every single comment.
That's about all the time you have. If you don't do that within the first 60 minutes, you're already going to...
Yeah, your post is going to be what it's going to be. So within the first hour, Instagram makes their decision. We're not sure if it's like 40 minutes, if it's like an hour and 10 minutes, but we've basically it's close to an hour. I use that as a general benchmark. You want to slam as much as possible. So the more people that you can get to comment on your stuff within the first hour that it's up, you get juice, you get points in Instagram's algorithm. The more times you comment back on your own posts is almost more important than the number of comments that other people leave on your stuff. They are not a content distribution platform. They are a social media platform. So they give enough distribution to elicit people to like and or comment, ask questions, share, and interact with the media, to socialize in some capacity. To the extent that you are just distributing content, every post you do, Instagram's going to keep hacking away at your reach.
It's a really valid point.
When I say comment, by the way, here's another change. People, you know, made a lot of headway a few years ago using bots where they're like it. Nice.
Best one yet.
Great post.
Top.
That's who says that. Or just comments 100. Yeah. Anyway, we used to have an ambassador that would be like, yeah, 100, fresh. And we please don't mention him.
Okay. Well, that one user freaked out and he why are you saying 100 about my kid or whatever? Like, it was the bot speaking
for him. Yeah, someone got really offended about the 100 comment.
Yeah, it was weird.
Long story short, those don't work anymore. Those are considered spam because A, they duplicate the content. You know, spamming is a great way to lose juice, a great way to lose distribution.
By using the same phrase of word repetitively.
Yeah, so you don't want duplicate contents. And also, here's a big fucking kicker. Your comments at this point need to be more than 3 words. So 4 words or more for it to count as a quote-unquote comment in Instagram's eyes for the purpose of algorithmic exposure. So like a little winky face and a thumbs up or flex arm emoji doesn't cut it anymore.
Does an emoji count as a character, like a word?
An emoji does count as a word. Okay. So it can be 3 words plus an emoji.
Can it be 3 emojis?
Honestly, I don't know. I'll have to pray to the Instagram gods tonight and see what they give to me. I imagine that it's 4 different characters. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't get in the habit of commenting 4 emojis because it's going to be really difficult to not duplicate that sequence of emojis to multiple people.
Yeah, because you only most frequently used ones on your iPhone. You only have so many.
You only have so many combinations, exactly. Okay, no repeat comments for words and or emojis. Don't duplicate them. Here's another really great piece. Before this algorithm, I used to fucking respond to every comment anyway on my posts. Why? Because it's social. It's socialization. Like you're looking to build social influence. You know, the best way to be interesting is to be interested in other people. Like, I see people with like 18,000 followers acting like their fucking shit doesn't stink and it makes me sick. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at like really gangster fucking accounts and they're working their ass off with all of the shit that they have, all of the external outflow, the businesses that they're running, the personal branding, the blog, the YouTube channel, blah, blah, blah. And they are grinding their ass off.
Full-time job.
Because guess what, guys? Your audience is what gives you the power to go do whatever it is that you need or want to do. Your next initiative is only as good as the amount of people that are enrolled in what you are doing. The way that you enroll them is to create a connection, not a fake one. Like actually, legitimately, you spot it, you got it. Acknowledge people. We were in the movies. We watched Jumanji like a month ago. We were in the dark walking out of the movie theater, me, Liz, and Noah. And this guy goes, Rev Labs Prez, and yells in the fucking dark after when the credits are rolling. I turn around like I can't see because I'm like looking at the screen. And this guy had known me for whatever, a 2-3 year period. And I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on? I'm sorry. Do we know each other? You know, and he's like, no, we don't actually know each other. I follow you on social media, but you were at a gym in Florida doing like a demo or whatever, passing out samples. And you walked past me on the bench press and you pointed at me. I'm like, I see you, dude. Just quick acknowledgement. I see you, bro. Like, because he was working hard or something. I don't even remember the interaction, to be honest with you. But that's when I used to travel, when brick and mortar storefronts used to be a thing. He's like, yeah. So I started following you later, you know, because he's in the military. I got stationed at Camp Pendleton here in San Diego. And I moved here and I've been following you for like 4 years now. And I was like, that is awesome. I should probably mention the value of acknowledging people. It made a difference to him. Instagram wants to like algorithmically reward people who are doing what they should be doing anyway, which is if you want to be empowered with a big following to drive more traffic to whatever 501c3 you're running or get brand sponsorships or sell more of your fucking catnip or whatever the fuck you're doing. And you're empowered to do all those things because of your following. Engage with your fucking people. If you're doing it algorithmically, make sure you at least do it for the first hour. But really, it's a good practice because you're going to build relationships that empower you and empower others.
Yeah, they like you.
If you spot it, you got it. They're following you for a fucking reason. Try to spot it back. They see something they like in you. It's a really good practice because what you put your attention on expands. If you can hunt out your followers and see what is special about them, you're going to make them better. And the fucking reciprocity is just going to create a synergistic loop. Way, way more powerful than just being a content distributor that like creates posts that are fun, entertaining, etc. That there is no two way on it. So let's move to the IG stories that you mentioned. You're looking to build your following and to win at social media. You're looking to grow your Instagram following in 2018. You have to use their new features. The story just keeps rolling out new features. Your Instagram story is the gnarliest untapped weapon that I'm seeing so many people not use.
And it just changed in the algorithm.
It just changed in the algorithm a ton.
Right.
So let's start at high level. This is a direct Snapchat attack. So they have a competitor that was gaining market share. Instagram rolled out video to attack Vine. And then they rolled out stories to recapture a little bit of the market share from Snapchat. Instagram stories, by the way, are, I think the user interface is not quite as friendly as Snapchat. I like on Snapchat how you can be doing a story and you can just keep holding the record button and it will go into 2 snaps, 3 snaps, 4 snaps. You know, their geo, I'm blanking on what the word for that is, but their maps, the geo targeting and like showing what snaps were taken where, I think is a little bit better than Instagram that has been rumored to like roll out a beta. You try it for a second and they like suck it back in because it's not really working and it doesn't have enough posts to look populated, relevant, and matter. Their geo-targeting or location filters. Number one reason it's important, guys, is because storytelling by itself is the best way to create virality. Okay? So they're easy to follow. If you're teaching a lesson, you know, the biggest piece that, you know, my father and I have been partners in a few companies now. And when my dad would train our employees who knew some of the business way better than I did versus when I would teach, I would get way better engagement, way better employee reviews. It's not because my dad's not charming and good looking and funny, but he was just teaching it like it was a lesson. When I would teach something, it would be anecdotal in nature. It would be threaded throughout a story where the concepts were pervasive and then the themes were brought home and exemplified in that story. People can track with stories a whole hell of a lot better and they build a connection to whatever it is that you're trying to produce, whatever it is that you're trying to convey lands more naturally if you do it in story format. Ironically, the IG story is called that for a reason. It's not meant to be perfect. It's not meant to be filtered. It's not meant to be your highlight reel like a lot of people treat their Instagram feeds or their Instagram walls or posts. You can be way more raw. You can be way more goofy. A lot more of your personality shines through when you get in the habit of using the story. And it doesn't have to be effort ridden. You know, it doesn't have to look like you're doing it for the freaking gram like 90% of people's posts do out there. So that's just innately why it's important philosophically.
Oh, yeah. And you applied that to your business too when you did your SOPs virtually.
Very true.
How much better did that work out?
Yeah, we ended up doing, I record from Tim Ferriss, and this was fucking awesome. Thank you, Tim, for this suggestion.
Thank you.
Seriously, this systematized so much of what I'm doing. When I was teaching a new employee to do something, per Tim Ferriss's suggestion, I recorded myself doing it. So I made the training of a new person in that position automated thing. So the first thing to do at this point when a new person gets picking and packing or, you know, reporting my analytics or anything, actually, like I think 85% of the positions in our company like have videos for them now. The first thing they do is watch the video, watch the standard operating procedures, the do's and don'ts, the questions and answers, and it will give them a full breakdown from start to finish. And it's literally just a video of me training that other person.
It's so great, especially if you're passing on a whole like role, task, job to another human and you'd be doing everything anyway. You just get to record it and you don't have to break down all the things that you do in a day because it's just right there for you and it's real life and they know like the tempo and the pace that you and the way you speak to people and communicate and all the different like this it portrays your job so much better.
So that's a business hack. That is an operations tip from an operations person.
Yeah.
In Liz. She's our COO here at Rev Labs and CFO for that matter. The reason it applies to your Instagram story is because if they're hearing the story and they're watching the sequence of events, your personality comes through naturally and they feel connected. I've tested this before actually on Liz's profile where she walks through a couple of steps for a couple of days leading up to something happening, like an investor coming in or trying to sign an athlete or, you know, landing a brick and mortar retail chain or whatever. And then we don't tell what the punchline was to it. And the amount of, and I'm not recommending doing this. I was just doing it for the sake of seeing how many people gave a shit about what was happening in our day to day.
The stories, I love them.
And dude, the inflow was freaking nutty.
We had to turn off the story DM.
The story, yeah, we had to turn off the notification settings for stories because we were getting like thousands and thousands of DMs and it wasn't, and we still got it. We couldn't respond to half of them. But, you know, that being said, you think no one cares about like your daily shit. Or think no one cares about like your dog going to the vet or whatever it is. And I'm not saying everyone cares about everything. So like use your judgment, but there are probably people out there, especially out of the group that follows you, that cares a lot more than you think about a lot more than you think. Start playing with that story. What does Instagram do when you use your story? It rewards you. It wants people being connected. So how does it do that? It takes a little circle. And mostly chronologically, although it's not perfect and there, it is a little bit algorithmically complicated than just like the newest post first. But when you use your story, the circle goes to the front of the story feed, putting you as an impression in front of a lot more people than if your story is blank. If you're constantly refreshing your story and constantly snapping, I always call it snapping, constantly recording more of your story on Instagram, you will stay in the front of that feed. And the amount of people that will watch your story and then click through to your page and look at the rest of your content is fucking staggering. So if you're looking to get more likes to your post, looking to more drive more clicks to a website, looking to like impact anybody on your way of thinking, your service, your product, etc., start using your Instagram stories. If you want to hear more on this, reach out to me, RevLabs Prez or Liz Vino. You can watch what we do or also ask us deliberate questions. And I'm super happy.
I would love to help out with that because it was such a hurdle for me to.
Yeah, now you're better at it than I am. You smash your Instagram story. I think it's like your Snap and your IG story are two of your strongest pieces.
I enjoy them. Yeah. I like Snap more because of the fact that I don't have to like pause what I'm saying. Either way, it was just a huge hurdle for me to like get over. For whatever reason, it was an obstacle. I'm like, I don't know about this. Like, I used to, like, my Facebook was always just like people that I was really close with. And I let my Instagram account get a lot more public. And so when they opened up the feature of like the Snap like videos, it kind of freaked me out because I was like, oh, 200,000 people or whatever. Like, this was like my big public social media platform. And I'm a little bit like reluctant on sharing, like, just random stuff.
Now she snaps in the shower.
Yeah.
Those aren't public? Private. Yeah. Okay. I guess I didn't check the set. I didn't realize that was a direct to me thing.
They have a dating thing now too. It's crazy.
Snap does?
Yeah.
That's logical. That seems like
Tinder competition.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty sound evolution, considering most people are trying to get laid on there anyway.
Anyway, I am here. I'm definitely down to help people with what they can do on their stories and how to utilize it and simplify it, because it's really, really, really fun. And that's the most exciting part.
And I'll give you a quick couple touch points. They've rolled out a feature where you're now able to share other people's stories. So if you see something that you like, it induces virality by putting that content out there, because you can just, if someone says something funny, does something funny, you like their tits, they are endorsing a teeth whitening product that you want for your dog or whatever the fuck.
Canine teeth whitening.
Yeah, don't steal that idea, guys. Actually, fuck it, steal it. Just credit me and tag Liz Vino at the bottom. That you can share it with your friends. So any, you know, that piece has become way more like, it's almost like retweeting something, as opposed to like, you know, nobody really like shares a post and then reposts that post to their wall. I mean, sometimes they do for shout outs and stuff, but it has to be like a featured page that is in the same theme as what you're doing. And it's not really like your user base isn't going to share it around. We've found that like with stories, a lot of people are sharing them. And if you have a business account, you can look at all of your analytics with swipe ups, which is like link clicks and a lot of other swipe aways. Yeah, how many people leave your story, how many people stay on point. It helps you induce engagement from others and track it, and Instagram rewards you for it. So you have your story down. You're now a business account. We have to move on to captions. I really want to fucking hit this point, because that's the part that is the easiest and speaks the most to me. Like, I'm not very like visually stunning, right?
Aww.
I'm not being self-deprecating. I think I'm a good looking guy, but I'm not trying to be the hottest guy out there. That's not really like my thing. I think where I'm the most impactful are in my videos and in my captions. And I like writing a lot. I like writing and I like speaking. A lot of the game has changed with regard to the captions. So IG has always liked long form content. It doesn't give crazy, crazy long form, like landing page VSL long form. But, you know, if you make it lengthy, it's a lot more searchable. For some reason, you know, they like it way better than just a kiss face and a winking emoji as a caption. That's still the case. So another piece with that too is like, if you're taking a picture of like me in my jiu-jitsu school, my page isn't really about judo or jiu-jitsu or martial arts, right? So originally
you think like Joshua.
Sensei Joshua. You guys can all start calling me that. It's not really about mixed martial arts. You'd think to maybe like leave that out of your page because it doesn't fit one of your content buckets or the theme is inconsistent. But you know what it is about? My page is very much about following your dream. It is about working your ass off. It is about accomplishment. So I make sure, and I recommend you do the same, is to drill down into your posts, elaborate a little bit more. You take a picture of yourself in like a gi with your instructor. Maybe you talk about how it was always your dream to go into that. I'll speak from myself. I grew up in the Olympic judo circuit, you know, training with some really big names in MMA way back before UFC was what UFC is now. And MMA was not really a true career. Like, going to the Olympics was the pinnacle of what you could do in judo. There was no transition into like professional anything after that. In the Junior Olympics, when I got my arm broken when I was 18 years old, 17 or 18, right before college, my path veered away from really competitive judo. And that was a hard loss for me in the competition. It was also a hard loss because I gave up one of my passions and went towards the like drinking and fraternity and girls and just San Diego State, just distractions, when my whole high school and middle school and a little bit of elementary school, you know, the precursor to that was like 4 hours a day, every fucking day of my life, except for Sunday, training on the mat. And then I lost that piece. And then opening the school, it was always a dream for me to like teach and stay connected to the mixed martial arts community. And, you know, sponsoring Misha Tate and Dan Henderson for Rev Labs and you know, being a premier sponsor of like Bellator and having the Cut guys wear the Rev Labs logo, all that was great, but it didn't fill the same void that training filled. So in 2013, I opened up a school and have taken what I've learned in Rev Labs and, you know, my two other businesses and pay-per-click and online marketing. And we run a really successful school now. And it's my way of like being able to give back to a younger generation the same lessons that were instilled and given to me in judo of discipline and working my ass off and respect and being able to do really well at something, go to a fucking tournament and kick ass and feel the reward of the medal around your neck that you fucking kicked ass for. I was also a really small kid, and luckily in judo, you had to fight in weight divisions as opposed to like, you know, football or, you know, something that you had to be larger for. It didn't really make room for guys that, you know, my senior year, I think I fought at 127 when I was graduating high school. So, you know, do the math. I was like 6'1". I was a really lanky guy. I played as a receiver my senior year and I was fast at football, but like, let's be real. It wasn't going anywhere past like being the captain of like an 8-man private school football team. Talking about that story and why it's meaningful to you and what you learned and what you have taken into other aspects of your life as a result of that makes the picture of me in a gi that is seemingly unrelated tie perfectly into the theme of my page. Drill down into your fucking post, talk about why it's meaningful to you, talk about why it's impactful and the evolution behind it, and make it a little bit longer. That also gives the audience something to interact with. That's bullet number one on captions. Number two, hashtags. This was a way that a lot of people started to gain a lot of additional exposure, was abusing the shit out of hashtags. Do not do that anymore. Pick a couple of hashtags.
Tags for likes, bad.
Hash me up, bad. Don't do those things. Not that I ever have.
I might have a few notepads stored in my phone with some default hashtags.
Look, pick a couple of hashtags, make them unique and relevant. My sweet spot I've learned is about like 5, you know, 3 to 7, I would say, depending on what the post is.
I like 10 personally.
Do not fill it up with 30 anymore. And just like the comments, IG hates fucking spam. That applies to hashtags too. Do not tag the same tags in every post. So you have to make it more specific. The whole like fit fam, fit life, fit chick, cut that shit. A, they're probably too competitive for you to rank anyway. A really good trick for this, start hashtagging your location. Liz and I exploded her Instagram anyway when we started tinkering with this because it gets you local interaction. And when you're traveling or you're changing places a lot, it always will give you that one hashtag that is unique when you are someplace that is not your home city. So pick a couple of hashtags, call it 5 to 10, and make them A, big enough that they will give you extra exposure if you rank for that hashtag, but small enough that you're not going to get swallowed. Like, it's not like the bigger the better. And then most importantly, do not repeat the same hashtags every post. If you want to repeat them one out of every 4 posts, fine. One out of every 5 posts, better. If you can make them unique every time, which honestly I don't, it's better to not do hashtags than to repeat your hashtags because that's an immediate plummet in the first hour of your post. As soon as Instagram reads that, you're toast.
They refer to that as something. I'm blanking right now.
Shadow banning. You can get shadow banned where they don't put an official ban on your account, but just getting your content deliverability up becomes nearly impossible once Instagram has rated you as a spammer, a non-engager.
Even if you weren't trying to be, it's so sad because I'm sure it's like all in people just being innocent and don't have this information, which I'm really glad that we're telling everyone right now so you don't get put on the shadow ban list.
Doesn't it sound eerie? Shadow banning.
Yeah, even if you mess up on your post and you like want to take it down right away and then repost it, shadow ban, like really unfortunate.
Yeah, so that's actually a really good point, Liz. If you fuck up on your post, either delete it and leave it down.
Don't repost it.
Or live with the mistake. Do not delete it. Like, fuck, it wasn't how I wanted it. And then repost it because that will count as a duplicate post, duplicate content.
What does that do? Get you? Shadow ban.
Shadow banned. Sounds very serious.
I know.
Be careful not to repeat the word shadow banned too many times because Instagram or YouTube might pick up on this and we don't want to like start our iTunes rank to start falling as a result.
All right. Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Crypto.
Quick, say a bunch of stuff to gain SEO ranking. Cryptocurrency, blockchain.
Elon Musk.
Donald Trump. Tesla Model S.
Vine V2.
Did we mention Bitcoin? Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. Like old school SEO tactics where you just repeat the same thing over and over and over again so Google ranks it as more relevant for that keyword. All right. It's Saturday for us, by the way. We put in like a 90-hour work week between like Monday and Thursday.
We're having a blast because I'm dealing with a dev team that's rebuilding our website, and we are probably going live on Monday.
It's been a long time in the making. We custom built a really dope platform and combined RevLabs.com and Social Toaster, which is a really cool back end.
I can't believe you just told everyone.
There you
Hopefully go. Hopefully it's live by Monday.
If you have a business, come talk to me. I'm going to fucking blow your socks off with some of the tracking and incentivizing that you can do for your users to, to become affiliates. It's fucking nuts.
It's great. But I've been dealing with this dev team from India. So we're opposite hours. So at work, we're responsible for managing everybody. And I personally feel like a professional firefighter at work during the day.
And then starting at 4 p.m., we get on with India and we're working all through until like...
And then I have my own work and life. And so, yeah, we're a little bit social toasted.
We're socially a little bit toasted, but we're still giving to you fine people.
I wanted to mention to you guys while we're still on the point of captions and don't repost or delete a post and then repost it. Also, don't edit your post within the first 24 hours.
Oh, right. Yeah. So don't delete and repost. You're right. Don't edit either.
Yeah. Editing is just going to hurt your ability, your
algorithmic reach.
Algorithmic reach, exactly. That 1090 thing we were telling you about earlier. It's not going to get you necessarily like shadow banned if you edit your post within 24 hours.
Cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, blockchain. Cryptocurrency.
But you are going to, you will.
It damages your exposure. It's a mark against you. It's a don't. So do use unique hashtags. Don't edit your post in the first hour while Instagram is trying to collect the engagement stats from the first 10% of your audience.
In long, lengthy captions that fully expose you in your vulnerable state.
Yeah, vulnerable state with drilling down into your captions, providing context to your seemingly irrelevant posts of you in a gi.
Yeah, I would actually love to know how many people read my captions.
I think it's 6.
Honestly, I mean,
if you read Liz Vino's captions, I want you to go to her last post and say, saw your YouTube video and I read your captions.
I really want to know, like, if they could give, if Instagram, they're so doing all this crazy.
No, I want you to do it on Instagram. So this is being posted to YouTube and it's on iTunes. I want to see who actually reads what Liz has to write.
I am too. And if Instagram's over here like regulating and shadow banning
cryptocurrency,
I wish they would tell me how many people, like the time somebody spends like looking or reading your posts. That would be good information, right?
Yeah. Listen up, Instagram. So speaking of hashtags, one last thing. The ability to follow hashtags has just rolled out. That's a new feature. We want to give Instagram what they want. They want to know, they want us to use their new features. The way we tell them that we're the hot girl at the bar and they really want to show us to more people and we're down to be their date is by saying, wow, this new thing that you have is so interesting. We're going to use it to be able to give you more analytics so that you can improve it, you know, officially, you know, launch it or pull it back into beta because it needs more testing. There's a rumor, and just by sheer common sense, if they're rolling out a new feature, use it, tinker with it, follow at least a hashtag. I've heard some people saying that this is a do and will give you more follows and more engagement and more exposure automatically. I'm not sure if that's true, but I think the risk reward ratio of following a hashtag is definitely skewed in favor of fucking doing it.
Yeah, I actually like it.
Yeah, I actually like it too. I've used it for a few and I like them. It actually helps me find new podcasts.
Yeah, it's not in order of, I don't know
how. It's not chronological. I don't know how that algorithm works yet of like who follows, how it exposes you in that channel, but right. It's definitely worth, as a user,
yeah, just pick three and go follow
a couple of hashtags. Now, the reward explodes. And it's because not only are you now able to be exposed to 100% of your followers, not only are you able to hit that explore page and that suggested page, but they are blending your feed and the explore page together. Meaning, in your feed, you can be exposed to people that you are not following without going to the explore or the suggested page. Do I think that's a good play from Instagram, from a consumer-centric platform? Not so much. But it's neither here nor there. I'm not sitting here being like, I got our following on Facebook up to, you know, a couple million followers, and now it doesn't expose it to anyone organically unless I'm paying for it. Fuck that, dude. Like, I'm not here to like curse the fucking game. Learn what the rules are and win at it. That's your fucking job as an entrepreneur, is to problem solve. Denying the rules of how something works isn't going to help you solve a problem. Solving the problem and getting the solution of becoming a freaking gangster, of being able to drive a shit ton of free media wherever you want to go and be a person of influence. Well, the upside just got fucking way crazier. That the ability to do all of that just exploded from being able to show up in people's feeds, your posts, without paying, just because you're doing what Instagram wants you to be doing. So to recap, and we've said a lot, I'm going to put the outline in the show notes below. I want you to comment below this video or below this, the show notes in the description. I want you to email me. Sorry. So email me or comment below this video. Tell me the most valuable thing that you learned from today's session. So captions, make them long form. Search engines like that better. Do not repeat hashtags. Do not repeat captions. Do not delete and repost a photo, and do not edit within the first hour. The explore page and your feed is now blending. When that happens, you have the capacity, if you're doing all the do's and not doing all the don'ts, to be exposed to infinitely more people than organically follow you. Start using your stories. Start engaging. It puts you to the top of the feed every time you do that, and it builds a better connection, inducing virality and engagement from your audience.
And it's fun.
Interact with other pages without repetitive comments, and interact with every comment on your posts at least for the first hour. And then going all the way back to the beginning, please make sure that your account is a business account. Enjoy the fun insights. Hit me up with any direct questions. As always, I'm here for you. Speaking of social, if this was helpful to you, go on that fucking story. Say that you just listened to this podcast and add a link to...
Tag us. That would be so awesome.
Either RevLabs Prez, Liz Vino, or whatever platform you listen to this podcast on or watch this video on, give me a swipe up and I'll send you something for free from RevLabs. Maybe a shaker, maybe a hat, maybe one of those new backpacks you just had made. Do you have one of those around here?
Yeah, I do.
Dope. There's the backpack. You guys like it? Guys, hit me up. I'm here for you. Tell me what you liked. Tell me what you didn't like. Reach out to me. Comment below with what you learned. And until next time,
go kick ass.
Build that influence, motherfuckers. Talk soon. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me.